Now, joining me in studio this morning is a Canadian gentleman by the name of Bruce Haig. Bruce last night addressed members of Mallow UDC and is in the area to tell people about the life of Paul Kane, a man who was born in Mallow circa 1810, but who made a name for himself in Canada in the mid-1800s. To find out more, Bruce Haig joins me in studio along with John Capeless of the Mallow Field Club. Good morning to you, gentlemen.
Good morning.
And you're both very welcome to studio. John of the Mallow Field Club, if I can start with you firstly, what do you know of Paul Kane?
What I know is Paul Kane was born in Mallow in 1810. His father had been in the army, and they emigrated in 1819.
So he was a young lad, about nine years old.
He was quite young, yeah.
Do we know why they emigrated?
No, we don't know why they emigrated, but I don't think things were very good in Mallow at that time. And there was a big family, and they all immigrated to York, which was later became Toronto.
Right. And at the time, would many Irish people have emigrated to Canada?
Sometime later, the Robertson settlements from North Cork, but they weren't part of the Canes were not part of the Robertson settlements. They seem to have gone on their own.
Right. And do we know much about the Canes when they lived in Mallow?
Very, very, very little.
Yeah.
Very little.
You were telling me you were having even problems trying to locate where exactly they lived in Mallow.
I've been trying to get address from them for years, and I've tried various lists, rental lists and deeds and that, but up to now I've no success in trying to locate where they did live.
All right, so you're anybody out there with old books or whatever, or anyone's got any information, you'd certainly love to hear from them.
Yes, that's right. And the Irish Canadian Society, based in Dublin, are very anxious as well to find the house that he was born in, that they would put a plaque on the house.
Outside, yeah.
So if there's anyone out there that would know where
get in contact with you.
Yeah.
All right, let's turn our attention to Bruce Haig. Good morning to you, Bruce.
Good morning.
And you're very welcome to studio. Firstly, when did you become interested in Paul Kane?
Well, I taught school for a number of years, and I used to take the students out following the routes of early explorers. And Paul Kane was a particularly of interest to me because he was the first artist to record the Canadian West. There are no pictures of native life before Paul Kane's work. And, of course, it led itself well to showing the students what it was like at that time. And I guess that's how I got interested in him.
Is he very well known in Canada?
Well, of course, to anybody interested in history of the West, or anybody interested in art, is very interested in Paul Kane, and he's well known to those people, yes.
Many of his paintings still around?
Yes, about 300 of them were commissioned after his three-year journey into the West, and they became part of the collection of the Royal Ontario Museum. There's also quite a bit of his artifacts, Indian artifacts, that were given to the Manitoba Museum. And then a bunch of his work, which had lain in the basement of an old farmhouse in Manitoba, was rediscovered in 1957 and bought by a very rich oil a man out of Texas, and they now are part of a big collection in Orange, Texas.
Is it the same as with all artists? Was the money for the paintings made after Paul Kane died? Or did he make money from his paintings?
Well, that's how he, before he became famous and made his historic three-year journey across the West, he made his money by doing portraits of people all up and down the Mississippi River. So I guess he made some money all along the way.
Why did he decide to embark on that three-year journey?
Well, when he lived in York, which is now Toronto, he was quite fascinated with the Indians that lived in the area, and he was more interested in them, I think, than he was in going to school. And he saw an exhibit of some paintings by a man named George Catlin, who had recorded the American West. And he thought, gee, I'd like to do that a little further north, and I guess this was the inspiration. He spent some time, raised some money by doing his portraits, went over to Europe to study the old masters, and then gradually made his way back and followed his dream.
When you say he went to Europe, I take it he had a lot of formal training, did he, for his art? Or?
I don't know if it was formal training. It was just he saw the pictures in the museums, and he probably copied the styles and this type of thing, and so he was self-trained to a large extent.
What did he do for that for those 3 years? Did he literally just hike around the country?
He was quite a conniver. He ran into, made contact with George Simpson, who was the head of the Hudson's Bay Company, and impressed him enough that George Simpson allowed him to join the fur brigades, and he just trooped along by himself. He was a very inspired man.
And it's 3 years in total. And how many paintings would he have done in the 3 years?
Well, probably hundreds and hundreds. But a lot of his stuff was watercolors. It was his field sketches, which are now also part of the Royal Ontario Museum's collection. And then it was later on that he came back to Toronto that he spent years taking all these sketches that he'd done and making composite paintings, which are the ones that, of course, are the most famous now.
Would you describe him as a gifted artist?
Oh, very gifted, yes.
Yeah. What do we know of his family? Do they do well for themselves in Canada? Do we know much about the family?
I don't know too much. John, maybe you know.
We know very little of the rest of his family. Right. He was very close to his father from letters which there are copies of. But we know very little of the rest of his family, even after he died.
Would there be any relations still left in Mallow?
A couple of years back, a chap called Paul Kane did visit Mallow. And I wasn't able to speak to him. And I tried to contact him since, but he was obviously some
relation.
Distant relation.
Yeah, and do you know where he came?
He was some part of the States.
From some part of the States.
Yeah, yeah.
And Bruce, did Paul Kane live a long and happy life in Canada?
Well, I think in later years, part of the problem was he commissioned the man that paid him money for some of these paintings. When Paul Kane did a book, he did a book of his travels, which is just an amazing book, one of the easiest I've ever found to read, about his journey. And he dedicated it to the man that had commissioned his paintings, instead of dedicating it to Simpson, the man that had helped him make his journey. And as a result, the head of the Hudson's Bay Company was a little ticked off, they would say, and he was unable to get another position going into Labrador, which he felt rejected for many years later, and he started to go blind, and I think his later years were not as happy.
Right, and did he marry? Did he have any children? Or?
Yes, the part of his collection that I mentioned went down to Texas. This had been sent to him, to his son, who was also called Paul Kane, who was living in Manitoba. And when the older Paul Kane died, he received the collection. And as I say, this eventually was bought by this millionaire. But what happened to that Paul Kane as yet, I don't know.
And John, we're not lucky enough to have any of his paintings in Mallow, no?
No, fortunately.
Yeah, wouldn't it be lovely to have one of them here?
Yeah.
And Bruce, what is the main purpose of your visit? Are you over here on holidays and just tying in your interest?
Well, I have a project now where I send parts of historical journals out to teachers all over Canada, and now I guess all over the world, because I use the internet, and they make sketches of these, and it gets the kids more interested in some of these historical figures. And then I take the sketches, put them in a book, and try to take them to places in the world that tie in with the life of the explorer, if you can follow what I'm saying.
I can, yeah, yeah.
And so I did three sketchbooks based on Paul Kane's work. I presented one of them in Canada, one into the Smithsonian in Washington, because Paul, part of his journey was through the States. And the third volume is presented in Mallow, so that's why I'm in Mallow.
Excellent. All right. And is your first time here?
Yes, it is.
Yeah, enjoying your stay.
Very nice, except I wish the sun would come out for longer than 5 minutes.
Not at this time of the year, Bruce. No luck at all. Well, enjoy the rest of your stay, yourself and your lovely wife was outside. Didn't want to make it into the studio. And John Capers of the Mallow Field Club, we thank you for joining us in studio as well. Good morning to you both.